And if you would this morning, turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to continue the series of messages that we began 2 weeks ago on the Spirit-filled life. I thank God for the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen? Reading Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of His Word this morning. Our Lord Jesus, we praise and glorify Your name today. We thank You so much for Your grace and Your goodness in our lives. And we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You, God, that You have sent Your Holy Spirit to dwell amongst us. Dear God, as we look to the Word of God this morning, we pray for Your anointing to rest upon this speaker and every hearer. Give us greater insight, Lord, to who You are. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's important that we not only receive Jesus, and of course receiving Jesus is the most important thing we can do in our lives. Accepting Christ as our Savior. But God in His grace has given us more, and one of the things that He has given us is the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. That second work of grace, that second move of God's power in our life where we're filled to overflowing with the power and presence of the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful, if not, and it is, necessary experience in our lives. Of course, when we think about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we think about the speaking in other tongues or languages that are unknown to us. And that is an important part. I thank God for the blessing of being able to pray in the Spirit and being able to praise in an unknown language. It is a wonderful gift. But the infilling of the Holy Spirit is more than just that. Of course, we as Pentecostal people believe that with the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes power, and one of the specific manifestations of that power is boldness. And I thank God for His boldness. I don't always see it in my life. Sometimes I'd like to see it more, and I must need more of His Holy Spirit, and I do. But the Holy Spirit gives us boldness to stand up for Jesus when Jesus needs to be stood up for. He gives us boldness to preach and to teach and to share His Word with other people. But it's more than just boldness. As we have read in our text this morning, a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit is a life that's marked by wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And so if we are truly people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives are to be marked by these things. These are things that are promised to us from God. And the Bible tells us that the promises of God are yes and amen. Or so be it. That means they're a sure thing. If you're filled with the Spirit, you can be and you should be filled with wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge and fear of the Lord. But they're not only promised things, they're also necessary things. We need those things in our lives, and we need them in abundance. And that's another great thing about the Holy Spirit. Because what He gives us, He just doesn't give us a measure. He gives it to us in an overflowing or abundant fashion. We get much more than we could possibly want from God. Because God, among many things, is a generous God. And we need these things. We need these qualities of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can have a blessed life. You know, God doesn't want us aimless. He wants us wise. He wants us understanding. He wants us to live under the counsel of God. He wants us powerful, knowledgeable. And as we discussed 2 weeks ago, walking, which I think is one of the most important things, walking in the fear of the Lord. Having these things in abundance in our lives is not only necessary for us to live a blessed life, but also essential in our witness to others. What makes an impact on other people for the kingdom of God in your life? Is it what you say? Well, hopefully it is if you're sharing good things from God. But it's also what you do, who you are. Your life should be a testimony of what it means to be changed. To be as that song we sang just a few minutes ago. One's dead but now alive. Different. Changed, transformed. And in doing so, we give glory and honor and praise to God. You know, praise is more than just singing, although singing or shouting God's praises is very important. But allowing the Holy Ghost to move in your life and demonstrate the glory of God is also a form of praise. Because we're giving glory and honor to Him. Two weeks ago we talked about, and listen, this is something regarding everything as it relates to the kingdom of God in our lives, the working of God's Spirit, His love, His power, His peace in our lives. In order for God's will to be done in your life, you have to cooperate. God doesn't need our permission, but He will not force His will on anyone. You know, I married two couples last weekend, and I didn't see either one of the guys dragging the girls or either one of the girls dragging the guys to the altar. If that was the case, I would guarantee you that would not be a happy marriage. And are we not the bride of Christ? And just as a man wants a willing wife, a willing woman to become his wife, so our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants His church to be willing to receive all the gifts that He has for us. And so we must cooperate. And 2 weeks ago, we started talking about these different things, and we've been putting them together a little, not quite in order, but putting two together just the same. Last, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about wisdom and fear. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, telling us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're full of the Holy Spirit, then your life needs to be marked by, and you need to allow God to develop two things, the fear, the awe, the reverence of God that He is due. And the great wisdom of God that only He can give. And the next two qualities or traits that I would like to look at And they're not, again, they're not together in the Scripture, but they are together in other areas of the Bible. Is that of knowledge and understanding. Once again, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 2, 6, the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Two very important, two necessary things that we need in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that being knowledge and understanding. And may I say, and I'm not saying specifically regarding anyone, but I feel generally in the body of Christ, these two things are lacking. May God help us, and may we allow the Holy Spirit to form these things in our lives. I initially intended to talk about both knowledge and understanding today, but I didn't want to keep you for 2 hours, so we're just going to look at knowledge. And we'll pick up understanding next week, but they do go together. And of course, you know, when we think of knowledge, we think of facts, we think of school, studying. And you look at the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for knowledge means, could also be, or the understanding behind that is to perceive, to discern, or to recognize. And if you actually look at the word and look how that word and the various forms of that word, to know, is used in Scripture, you get the impression that the knowledge that God is talking about, the knowledge that should mark the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a very thorough and intimate knowledge. One place of Scripture, the word knowledge or know is used in the context of being able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. I remember seeing someone talking to someone, a fellow minister, and he bought his son a watch. And it was a really expensive watch, and it had the word, the letters R-O-L-E-X on it. And he gave it to his son, and he said, "Dad, you got me a Rolex. And his father said, "No, it's a knockoff." But it looks just like the same thing. But I'm sure, and the pastor, I'm sure if he would take that watch to a jeweler or a pawn shop or something like, someone who knows about watches, even though it looks very similar, because there's only one Rolex, he'd be able to know the difference. And that's the depth of the knowledge that God wants us to have in our lives as we serve Him and as we worship Him and as we live in this world that is so full of falsehood. And the deceit that's in the world is going to increase as we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is very, very strong today. In fact, I can't see it getting any stronger, but I know it is. How much more do we need the knowledge of God in our hearts and lives so that we can discern truth and error? The word knowledge or know is also used in the context of recognizing people. You know, it was funny, last week at Jeremiah and Rachel's wedding, I didn't have my glasses on. I looked out in the back and I saw a guy and I thought to myself, some of you remember him. I said to myself, boy, that guy's a dead ringer for Corey Coleman. And you know, I just like, wow, it's uncanny how he looks like him. And since he was kind of blurry, I didn't think it was him and I didn't expect him to be here. And in fact, I walked in the office and I said, Corey Coleman isn't here, is he? There's a dead ringer for him right out there. And turns out it was him. There have been other times I thought I knew someone and went up and spoke to them, and it wasn't them. Have you ever done that? I remember my aunt telling me she thought she saw me at a mall or something. She went up and tickled me, and it wasn't me. But going right along with deceit. A lot of things that look like Jesus today that aren't Jesus. That scripture says false Christs will arise, and they are arising, and they're going to come in different forms than we think of them. I believe they're really going to come in the form of political leaders as opposed to spiritual leaders, although there'll be that component. Another message for another time. Depth of the knowledge of God. Is this Christ or is this not Christ? It's also true as far as ministries. It's used as far as to know by experience, knowledge by experience. And we'll talk about this as we progress through the message. One way we learn is by what we go through and everything that happens to us is a lesson in the ways of God. And in the King James Version, the word used to have intimate relations with another person is that the root word of knowledge, to know. If you read the old King James, Adam knew his wife Eve. It wasn't just, hey, Eve, I know you. He had relations with her. So the knowledge that God wants us to have of Him and of what's going on is a deep, intimate knowledge. Things backwards and forwards, inside and out. Kind of like the guy who can, you know, who sees an engine all pulled apart and without a manual put it back together because he knows cars so well. Regarding the things of God, this should mark the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should know even as we are known. Or at least be approaching that. That will come into fullness according to 1 Corinthians 13 when we see Jesus face to face. And there are two aspects to the knowledge of God. One, of course, being the Word of God. Thank God, Jesus didn't leave us without a manual. We have the Word, and let me tell you, the Word of God was meant to be read and meant to be understood. And it is equal to 50% of our source for knowledge. So the Word of God is part of our knowledge, but also the Spirit of God. The ways of God are also something that we should have an intimate knowledge of. How God moves upon the lives of men. Romans 11:33-34 reads this way. Or speaks to this topic this way. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been His counselor? You want to know about God? There's two places to find it. There is the Word, but then there are the ways of God that are talked about in the Word, but that you can only find through the Spirit. Being able to discern the voice of God, God speaking to your life. Hey, if you know Jesus, God wants to have not just a one-way, but a two-way conversation with you. He has a lot to say to you. In fact, if you know Jesus, He just doesn't want to speak to you. He also wants to lead you. We are to be led by the Spirit of God. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says there are marvelous gifts that God wants to bestow upon you and His church. You can read about them in Scripture. But you must learn about them from God's Spirit Himself. And there are other things. You know, there's things you can't teach. You can teach math, and you can teach science. You can teach English, but you can't teach love. You can't teach peace. You can't teach joy. There's so many, I guess we call them abstract things that only the Spirit can teach. And that is also a great source of knowledge, the ways of God, the heart of God. And God gives them to us through the ministry of His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Scripture says, however, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. So there's the Word of God, and there are the ways of God. And God wants us to be fully versed in them all. But tragically today, there is an absence of knowledge in the body of Christ. And because of that, the church is struggling. People are struggling. The book of Hosea chapter 4, a scripture we quote often, but at that time Israel, and actually throughout Israel's history, and I'm speaking of the northern kingdom of Israel back in the Old Testament, they were people who were always struggling. They struggled with sin. They struggled in their worship of God since they constantly fell into worshiping idols, and they acted wickedly towards other people. And in just a few short words, the cause or the main reason for this is laid out for us in the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. And I believe, unfortunately, this describes the church today, especially the Pentecostal or the Charismatic church. This past week, and I hope you didn't see it, don't bother seeing it, but a very well-respected minister who he's not a Pentecostal. I think he's Baptist, but I'm not sure. And many of you have heard him. John MacArthur wrote many books, very respected teacher. Had a conference, and basically this conference was an attack against, or a condemnation, I think is a better word than attack, on the Charismatic and Pentecostal movement. You know, I could spend a Sunday, you know, refuting what he said, and a lot of what he said was actually a defense of a theological teaching called Calvinism. But he was coming hard against Charismatics and Pentecostals, and we are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't appreciate the spirit of the conference. He's not accountable to me. And I disagreed strongly with many things that he had to say. But there were a few things that I had to agree with him in as far as elements within our movement as a Spirit-filled church that are not of God. And there's a reason for that. That are causing people to be confused, that are bringing God's people's attention away from Jesus and on self. And the reason for that is my people are being destroyed from a lack of knowledge. There is a danger, my friend, of living in ignorance. It will destroy you. Ignorance leads to a confused church. Ignorance leads to a church that struggles with sin. I marvel at believers who are struggling in their life and they're wondering why they're struggling. And the reason they're struggling is because there are clear sin issues in their lives that they haven't dealt with. And the reason they haven't dealt with them is not because they don't love God and not because they don't want to serve God. They just don't know any better. They're living in ignorance. But if you sin, sin has its consequences, and its consequences is death. You need to get rid of the sin. From the very beginning till now, until the Lord Jesus Christ Himself returns, there will always be a struggle against false doctrines and teachings in the church. The worst enemy the church faces regarding what we teach and who we believe in is not outside these four walls. And I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about the church family in general. It's from those who say they are of us. As Paul said, they said they are of us but are not of us. Who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And who are promoting heretical doctrines and people because they don't know any better. Embrace it. And leads them to a state of confusion and division in the body of Christ. And then, of course, living in ignorance, another danger of that is we're ignorant of the promises of God. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to expect. We don't know how God moves. So we're very, very frustrated in our relationship with Jesus. There are several reasons why people live in ignorance. One reason is pride. Some people feel like they know it all. You ever meet anybody like that? Yeah, I know all about the Bible. I come on Sunday morning. Let me tell you, Sunday morning is great, but this is not a teaching. The purpose of a message, at least my message is, some pastors are more teachers, and God bless them. They're wonderful. But this is more of an exhortation or an encouragement. Yeah, you'll get a bit of knowledge here and there. But the purpose of preaching is to spur on to good words or to exhort. And if your knowledge of God and His ways rests solely on Sunday morning messages, you're going to be ignorant of a lot of things. Some people watch documentaries on the History Channel. They see something on the Bible, they put that on. That makes them an authority. Some subscribe to Christian television. Let me tell you, I guess since I've been 10 years now, I can speak more frankly. A lot of what's on Christian television is good, but a lot is not. And let me tell you, there's a lot of fluff on there. It's candy. It's not even good candy. It's junky candy. And I don't mean to be critical, but listen, it's a shame to see what's going on in some, again, just some circles of Christianity, and it's due to ignorance. Another reason why the church lives in ignorance is because of sloth. People are just too lazy. to really become a disciple or a learner of Jesus. And let me tell you, that's the attitude that's necessary to be a person of knowledge. I want to be a disciple. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what you signed up for when you received Him into your life. And I'm not saying, when I say sloth and laziness, let me put it this way, and some people are just too lazy to open the book. But some people live their life so extended that they have no time to spend with God and to learn more about Him. And you know, God, as far as God's in my life, but He's not Lord of my life. I give Him the leftovers of my life. He's not a priority, even though the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Or you're just so overextended, and it happens especially when we get overextended, you don't have time to really spend quality time with the Lord. And really, to be a disciple, that's what's necessary, spending quality time with God. But I think one of the greatest reasons that people do not study this book is because they find this book very, very intimidating. I've had many people, you know, say to me, you know, I try reading the Bible, but and this is the one thing that I almost hear from everyone who has struggles or difficulties getting into the Bible. It's the begats. And let me just say, don't start off reading 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9, because that's all it is. But the Bible is an intimidating book. It's a big book. And some parts are tedious. I know another part, I think it's in Numbers, or it might be next, I think it's Numbers, where it describes how each of the 12 tribes brings an offering of a silver plate, a gold dish, some flour, and a ram or something. And everyone the same thing. Doesn't make for exciting reason. It's in there for a reason. And there is things to learn from that. Some of the scriptures are out of order. Some, you know, you can read and follow along, especially in the stories. But others, especially as you know, you read the prophetical books. Who is this talking about? What does this mean? It can be very, very confusing. And so people shy away from the Word of God and become ignorant or stay ignorant of the Word of God, and they suffer for it. But my friend this morning, God, His will for our lives is not that we live in ignorance. And if we are filled with the Spirit of God to overflowing, we can be and we should be a people of complete, intimate knowledge. How do we obtain knowledge? Of course, you know, we're talking about how this is a quality of a life who has, of a life of someone who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, and we'll address that in a moment. But being a person of knowledge is a combination of two things: being a person of the Spirit and also being a person of the Word. And there are practical things that we need to be doing. Excuse me this morning. I'm going to have to, I guess as I'm getting older, my voice doesn't hold out as long, so I'm going to have to keep my voice down as I speak. There's some practical things that we need to be doing if we want to be people of knowledge. And, you know, and as I was writing this, I was thinking of something Brother Charlie often says, he will do if we will do. And if you want to be a person of knowledge, yes, seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. But also be a person of who is a disciple, who presses in for more of the knowledge of God in a practical way. And part of this is my fault and the fault of pastors or some pastors. You know, people accept Christ, we give them a Bible, we give them a book and say, you know, there you go. I don't say good luck because we don't believe in luck, but you know what I'm saying. You accept Jesus, you want to grow in the knowledge of God. Invest in yourself and in that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bibles we give away are great, and I didn't, you know, until the conversation realize this. Listen, you want to be a person of knowledge, invest in a good study Bible. You know, the Bible is great, but we've got so many good Bibles now that have good notes in them. Tell us when it was written, who it was written to, the purpose of it, key scriptures, breakdowns, things that can aid in our study of the Word of God. Secondly, it's important that we systematically study the Bible. As I mentioned earlier, the Word of God is meant to be read and known. It is something that is to be memorized. Years ago, when I grew up, one of the stalwarts of the church was Sunday school. And Sunday school wasn't flashy. You know, we had our little pictures to color and that type of thing. But it was school where you sat in class and you learned. And was it the most exciting thing in the world? No, it wasn't. But we learned all the stories of the Bible. We had memory verses. We learned them. We learned some of the basic and fundamental teachings of the Bible. And when I went to Bible school, my first year was a piece of cake because I went to Sunday school. It gave me a good foundation. Now, I know culture has changed and things are different now. And I'm not saying everyone has to, although Sunday school is great, everyone has to go to Sunday school to learn about God. But if you don't have that component of learning the Word of God systematically in your life through Sunday school or Wednesday night Bible study or some other group, then you've got to find it somewhere if you're going to be a person of knowledge. You can't live in ignorance of this book and expect to be someone who is strong in God and who's able to discern truth from error and able to know truly what love is, what joy is, what peace is, all the things that God wants us to know. And so somehow, some way, get into a systematic study of the Word of God from Genesis to the book of Revelation. I'm not saying start in Genesis. In fact, I think the best place to start are the Gospels. But study the Word. Know the Word. Come out on Wednesday or some of the different groups that we have during the day or get a correspondence class. But learn the Word of God and everything it has to say. And make that a priority in your life. And not only are we to be people who learn the basics, you've got to keep on top of the basics so that they won't fade away. Because the human mind is such that if you don't stay on top of what you have learned, you will forget it. I'm learning that now in homeschooling my daughter. And I do a very small portion of it. Raylene does the most.
But I do math. And I have had math. And I might have used this illustration before, so if I have, forgive me. Forgive me. And she's taken trig. And I took trig. And I passed trig. But I had it over 30 years ago. It's a long time. And so I'm having to relearn most things. Some things I just can't relearn. And this happens to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can not only fall away in your faith, you can fall away in your knowledge of God. Hebrews chapter 5 puts it this way, verses 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. A person of knowledge, and this is what we can do, what we should do, is a constant student of the Word and the teachings of God, and who not only learns them, but learns them over and over and over and over again. And let me tell you something about learning the things of God. And let me tell you, I'm a church kid. I grew up in church. I knew all this stuff because, you know, I went to Sunday school and all that. But let me tell you, if you put your heart, mind, and soul into learning the Word of God and the truth of God and the knowledge of God, God will make it brand new each and every time. But there's also the role of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to be a person of knowledge, and knowledge, the knowledge that God wants us to have is not just a head knowledge, it's a spiritual knowledge, then you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you need to walk and live in the Spirit. For a man or woman of the Spirit is a man or woman of knowledge. What marks your prayer time? Let me tell you, if you want to be a person of knowledge, when you pray, you need to ask God to reveal to your heart and mind the ways of the Spirit of God. When you read the Word, when you study the Word, when you sit under my preaching or someone else's teaching, you need to pray that the Holy Spirit would open up your mind to the truth, but also give you discernment regarding any error. You need to also, because God teaches in a variety of ways, be open to the teaching voice of the Holy Spirit. Not just in His Word, and not just through preaching and teaching, and not even through the still small voice of His Spirit while we're in prayer, but through the experiences of life. How did Jesus teach people when He walked this earth? He taught them by using everyday examples. Planting a garden, building a house, buying a field. Common, everyday things. Jesus teaches the same way today. And as we're walking and living in the Spirit, the various experiences we have in our life, if we're listening to God, God will teach us things. God will teach you things. Through your failures. He'll teach you things in your relationships with people in your family or people you work with or people here at church. He'll teach you in some of the most mundane tasks. In fact, you know, and I'm digging holes in my backyard, you know, all of a sudden, something will come to light. It's the voice of God's Holy Spirit. He'll teach you in trials and troubles, because in those dark places I have found, that's where you find God, in the valley of the shadow of death. And He also teaches you in the many blessings. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. We need, desperately need, the infilling of God's Holy Spirit if we're going to be a people of knowledge. Scripture I read earlier from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. These are the things regarding the things that no one has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. These are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. But let me tell you, when you receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, our knowledge of God doesn't become complete. It's a doorway now to receiving a greater knowledge of God, a deeper knowledge of God, that complete in and out understanding of who God is. And so this morning, as we prepare to close, in addition to praying, you know, and I want to encourage you to press in for more of God's Holy Spirit. We haven't talked about, you know, receiving that. And it's a gift. It's just something that we receive. We ask for it. We pray for it. We can't earn it. And if we do, if we're sincere, and it will come. Let me tell you, it will come. It may come here, may come home. Then just like every fruit of the Spirit and every dimension of God's Holy Spirit, knowledge, if we choose to walk in God's Spirit, will begin to develop in Jesus' name. And so, my challenge to you this morning in closing is for every one of us, and I'm not saying you're not, but every one of us in an even greater way become a person of knowledge who strives for knowledge in their life and in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't neglect that part of who you are and who God wants you to be. It's not dependent upon your IQ. In fact, Jesus said, you know, as far as to receive the kingdom, you just need to be a child. In fact, some of the most profound things in Scripture, or profound things about the kingdom of God, Jesus described in those little everyday stories that we talked about. So would you stand with me this morning? And let us, as we prepare to sing one last song together before we conclude the service, let us ask God to make us people of knowledge in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You so much and praise You for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. We are thankful that You sent Your Spirit, Lord, to dwell in us and through us, God, and for purpose. And it's not just that we would feel good, although there is nothing, no greater feeling than to have the presence of God upon our lives and our heart in its fullness. God, You sent Your Spirit to develop these wonderful things, fear, counsel, power, wisdom, understanding, and the knowledge of God. Dear God, we pray, and more than ever before, especially in the days that we live, that we would become people of knowledge in Jesus' name. That God, we would allow Your Holy Spirit to open up our minds and our spirits to what is true in Your kingdom. We have a deeper knowledge of the love of God, of the peace of God, of redemption, Lord Jesus. The ways of Your Spirit, the voice of Your Spirit, God, give us, Lord, a deeper knowledge every day. And God, create in us, Lord, a heart that hungers and thirsts after more knowledge every day. May it mark our lives. May it be in our prayer life, and may it be in our relationship with You as we seek to love and serve You. And we ask this morning in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Let us, before we close in prayer this morning, let's sing a chorus of praise together in Jesus' name.